Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Waves of Glory. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin coming to you with our success principles. We are going to be talking today about the fourth of our five keys to success in life, which is the topic of potential. In our studio this morning, we have with us the entrepreneur person of Shamika Austin, who is an awesome woman who moves in and out of the entrepreneur arena in several different things. And so, first of all, I would like to say welcome to Miss Shamika Austin.
Oh, that was awesome. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
You just made me sparkle, so that's awesome.
Wonderful, wonderful. Because you are a sparkler, and I am delighted to know you and to see the great things that God has stored in you. There's great things in your storage bin today. And the reason I have asked Ms. Austin to come on the radio program this morning is because she is so power-packed with potential. And so we're going to get into it this morning. The first thing we want to talk about is what is potential exactly? And one of my favorites, because of course, is the late Dr. Miles Monroe, who began his ministry talking about purpose and potential and branched out into different things. But just before he passed away, he returned to his foundational message of purpose and potential. And so I'm just delighted this morning to talk about the things that he taught me, that potential is untapped ability. Potential is the thing that you would do if you could do, but you haven't done it yet. Potential is the picture of the dreams that you have maybe spoken, or you maybe just have written them down on a piece of paper, but they haven't materialized yet, and you haven't even attempted to do them yet. Yet they are there, like shadows in the back of your mind. That is potential. And the Word of God lets us know that we are fully equipped to do anything that comes to our mind. I believe it is Napoleon Hill who said, if the mind can conceive it, you can achieve it. And everybody claps real loud, and they applaud Mr. Napoleon Hill, who was at that time one of the richest men in America. But that is simply a biblical principle that we in the body of Christ have not yet grasped, that the reason we can achieve it is because we come pre-programmed to achieve. When God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, be fruitful and multiply. So that what that meant is that they had everything they needed to be fruitful and multiply. In times past, we thought that just meant, you know, to make more people. But in today's world, God is still speaking the command, be fruitful and multiply, and it does not only apply to the population of the earth. All right, then, let's get started this morning. The fourth key to personal development is, what can I do? What can you do? I have a young person that I talk to often about purpose and potential, and she just declares up and down that she doesn't have any gifts and talents. And I just want to go to our studio guest host this morning, Ms. Austin, and say to you, ask you that question. What do you think about when people say, I don't have any gifts and talents? Do you think that's possible?
I don't, honestly. I look at things, I think when people think talents and gifts, they immediately go to the arts. They go to an artistic mindset. So it's, oh, I don't sing, or I don't dance, or I don't play an instrument, I don't know how to act, I don't, you know, those things, that I can't draw, I can't, you know, paint, whatever. And they think, I don't have a talent, I don't have a gift, I don't have anything to put out there for the world. But I look at things like, there are people who do things I cannot do. You have financial advisors. They are amazing with money. They can tell you how to hide your money, protect your money, grow your money. That's their gift. And that sometimes people don't look at it like that. Your gift is that thing that you do not only just with passion, not just with purpose, but it comes just about naturally to you. You may have to work on it. You know, anybody who was an accountant had to go to school. They had to refine that gift, but there was something in them that, and definitely a successful accountant on that, but there was something in them that was already placed there that said you are going to be predisposed to work well with numbers. You're going to be predisposed to work well with money and to help other people learn how to work with their money and balance their money. So I think when people look at gifts and talents, they immediately go to that, the flashy stuff, the entertainment kind of thing, that's just where our minds tend to go. But you don't look at the doctors who are talented, surgeons who are talented, teachers who have the ability to mold young minds. Those are gifts. And not everybody can do those things. And I think that's the plus about a gift. Everybody doesn't get the same gift.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. I certainly agree with that. Dr. Monroe, once again, describes the wealthiest place on earth as being the graveyard. And the reason he gives for that point is that people go through life without ever having tapped into their true level of potential. He says that there's books that were never written. There's songs that were never sung. There's ideas that never sprang to life because people never tapped into their own personal empowerment, their own personal potential. Like you said, they may have been looking at somebody in the entertainment industry and say, well, I can't do that, or I can't do this. We tend to focus on the things that we can't do. And everybody loves a hero. And always when we look for a hero, we look for a hero on the outside of us. We look to lift somebody up on a pedestal that the world can see, but we never look inside and say, I am my own hero. We can truly be our own hero. And I do mean that apart from God. I don't mean to worship ourselves, but to look at ourselves in the light in which he has created us, in the likeness of his image. So the potential that is on the inside of us is really the power of God to achieve our greatness status. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, I believe it's verse 18, declares to us that when we come into our wealthy place, we are to remember God, because it is he who does what? Gives us power, which is ability, to get wealth. So then potential is our ability to do whatever it is that we have been purposed to do by God as he began to form us in our mother's womb. Each little person that is being formed in the mother's womb is not only being formed naturally and physically, but they're also being formed with talents and gifts, with a temperament and a personality. So there's a complete formation going on that we don't often address once that child is in the earth. Excuse me. So, Miss Austin, because I know that you have so many gifts and talents, I would like for you to just, if you could, just tell us a few of the things that you already do. I know that you have a bakery assignment and a bakery idea called Cakestacy. Tell us some of the things that you do in conjunction or in addition to your Cakestacy idea.
Well, I write. So I write poetry and plays, and I've produced plays, I've directed plays for not just myself but for other people. I edited, because I love words, I've edited everything from other people's resumes to their stories, websites, things of that nature. I also crochet, which was originally taught to me so I could leave my mother alone, because she used to crochet a lot, and so she was she was doing it so that I wouldn't be just sitting up under her asking her, you know, what are you doing, how can I do it, you know. So she taught me how to do that, but it was originally kind of used for just relaxing, and it kind of made me closer to her, and then I realized that I was pretty good at it, so I I was able to start doing clothing, you know, little simple outfits and pieces, and people seemed to like it. So I started using that as a way to bring in some more revenue and things. So my main things are writing, anything, songs. I play the piano. I sing. There's a lot, I guess. On top of baking and trying to do those, I guess I never wanted to just rely on the one thing, because I always felt like anything can be taken from you if you don't utilize it and stuff. So I try to work in every realm that I believe I'm gifted in, and so sometimes I find new stuff. Like I love to teach, and I've started tutoring. I've been tutoring international students for like the past since August of last year. So I tutor them in English, learning English as their second language. So and that's a lot of fun as well. So there's quite a bit.
Awesome, that is beautiful. And as I hear you talking about the different gifts and talents that you have. excuse me, what would you say to the person who is listening to our broadcast this morning who says, wow, she could do a lot of things, but I can't do anything?
I would tell them to go back and assess what they do. The first thing I think when you're speaking of potential is something that's capable of development into an actuality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not there. If you're sitting around and you're saying, I wish I knew how to sew, let's go with something creative. I want to know how to sew. Well, there's ways to go ahead and start that. You don't have to go out and buy the best sewing machine in the world. You can go and get something that's inexpensive, or you can go and start with a needle and thread and create a pillow, you know, and just try that thing in you that you've been saying, I wish I could do. Because every action, everything that is created, everything, I don't care what it is. Like I said, whether you are a financial manager or you are an aspiring lawyer or anything, everything that's created, you have to take a step. And I think once you go ahead and you say to yourself, this is what I want to do. If I could do it, this is what I would do. Then take that step, whether it's researching it, whether it's asking somebody that you know who's a part of that area that you want to pursue, you have to take the step. And so we can all sit around and say, I can't do that. I mean, I can't swim like Michael Phelps, but that doesn't mean I can't learn how to swim.
Correct.
You know, you have to – I think people have this desire to compare themselves to somebody else's success story, not really realizing that the journey that they made to quote-unquote be a success was filled with attempts, failed attempts. And I think that's another thing when you're dealing with potential. People are afraid to fail. And I know that personally, that's me. I will talk myself out of something before I've even taken a step towards it. I'll read one thing saying that, oh, well, you know, in order to own a bakery, you have to have close to $20,000 down. And I'll convince myself, well, I don't have $20,000. I don't know anybody with $20,000. And I don't think I've ever seen $20,000 in my lifetime altogether. So this ain't for me. And that's what I first did when I was trying, you know, looking into, because I really wanted a storefront bakery. And then I got to looking some more and researching some more, and I realized I can do this online. I can do it online for a little while until I can create, until I can gather up the money to put down or to convince somebody and say, hey, I've got X amount of dollars, and this is a product that's real and it's worthwhile. Would you invest with me? And go from there. There's ways around being stuck in that I'm going to fail mentality. And I think that's what stops people from saying, let me branch out, let me try. So if you're sitting around and you're saying, I don't have a talent, then I would challenge you to take an inventory of yourself. Take an inventory. Even if you have a 9-to-5 working for somebody else, take an inventory of what you do daily for that person. And then start to equate that with things that you can do for yourself. You're making somebody else money. You're making somebody else rich. You're making somebody else famous. They can't do it without you. They need your potential, and you're utilizing all of your potential to forward their movement. Start looking into what you're doing for them and start forwarding your own movement.
Absolutely. And I like the fact that you said take inventory, because a lot of times we don't think of the things that we're doing on a daily basis as an income-producing product. Now, here you're talking about cakes, to see who doesn't like to have a delicious cake. But there are some people who are gifted at baking cakes, and others like me who just love to stay outside the kitchen until the baking is done. Now,
right.
if it comes to teaching something, I'm your man. I'm in there. I'm ready to teach. I have all the patience that is necessary. I'm willing to learn different teaching styles. I pay attention to the person as to how they learn, and I'm willing to go with whatever style they learn in. But if you put me in the kitchen, all I want to do is wash the dishes, because I'm not interested in the cooking or the baking. I'm interested in the eating. So I guess, you know, that's my gift and talent when it comes to kitchen is washing dishes. And when you naturally wouldn't think about that washing dishes would be a gift or a talent. But I declare today that I am gifted to dish wash. Everywhere I go, that's my intro to my the area that I step into. It's like, do you need the dishes washed? Now, not many people like washing the dishes, but I am that person. And so what we have got to do is stop comparing our gift to somebody else's gift, because every gift is tailor-made to the person that has been created. If you have let's say you do get a storefront bakery and you go into the kitchen and you bake up 30 or 40 cakes per day and muffins and cookies or whatever your specialty is, and then you left a mess in the kitchen, somebody has got to wash the dishes.
Right, and I hate to wash
certainly
dishes.
Certainly you could do it, but then you would be taking yourself out of your realm of talent and gifting. And listen, this is the exciting thing about what God has done for us. When he has gifted us to do the thing that we do, we enjoy doing it so much it never looks like work.
Right.
We get into a frustration and misery and pressure and stress when we take on a job that has nothing to do with our purpose and nothing to do with the untapped that's on the inside of us, and we end up living a frustrated lifestyle, even though, you know, we have a 9 to 5 every day and our bills are paid and our family has a house and all of the little things that we need as a family are done, we still are unfulfilled because we have not tapped into purpose and to potential. Excuse me. Once we begin to take inventory of our natural gifting, then we can begin to see the great number of possibilities that we have. Now, here you say that you love words. And out of the fact that you love words comes a poet, a playwright, a producer, a tutor, a teacher. I mean, just from one fact that you love words. Now, when I was a young child, I used to read the dictionary while other people were watching television or outside playing in what I considered bugs, because I didn't like the outside. I was reading the dictionary because I loved words. And so anything that you love can be channeled so that it becomes a point of prosperity for you. I would like to say, in order to take inventory, you might need to ask yourself a few questions like, what can I do with ease? The thing that you are called to do that is going to bring prosperity to your life and call you to have success in life is something that you do with ease, such as maybe it's just talking. Maybe you talk a blue streak and you would think, I can't do anything else. All I can do is talk. Well, there are many different avenues that you can use. If you are a talker, you can become a motivational speaker. Motivational speakers are talkers. You can become a lecturer. There's all kinds of things that you can do if your gift is just talking. Maybe you could talk for the person who doesn't have that ability. When I hear that, I think about Moses and his brother Aaron when God was calling Moses to go speak to Pharaoh, and he started making excuses. I stutter. Well, God already knew that he stuttered when he called him. So he said, right. Listen, Moses, I'm going to take into account the fact that you're trying to make an excuse here. I tell him to take the excuse out of your life by saying, I'm going to stand somebody right beside you who does nothing but talk a blue streak. So, okay, now can you do what I tell you to do? So sometimes the gift that we are gifted with is not for us, it's for those around us. So we need to learn how to recognize our gifts as well as the gifts of others and to see what gifts are compatible, what connects, what works, so that we don't end up partnering with the wrong person who has the wrong gift or talent, and then two destinies or two purposes are shipwrecked because we couldn't get along. And then there's a whole other slew of feelings and emotions we have to deal with. Then we don't want to ever deal with another person or people like this or people are like that. No, you didn't take inventory of the gifts and talents of the person that you are trying to connect with because so that you would be compatible. Now, there's a verse of scripture in the Bible that says, know them that labor among you. And in the religious world, we try to twist that and say, you know, we can watch out for the wolves and the serpents. And we're always looking at a negative viewpoint when God wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. When he's saying, know them that labor among you, he's saying, get to know who is working among you. Get to know what their gifts and callings are so that you can effectively build something that will cause the advancement of the kingdom of God. When Nehemiah was called back to Jerusalem to build the wall, he had to take assessment of who was good with bricks, who was good with mixing up the mud that stuck the bricks together, who was good at gathering bricks, things like that. When Moses was building the tabernacle in the wilderness, he had to take inventory of who was good with stitching together different fabrics that had to be stitched, who was good with cutting down the poles. It's important. Every gift and talent that is in the earth is important, and it is to be used for the building of the kingdom of God, yes, but it is also to be used so that we have everything in our lives that pertains to life and godliness. God doesn't want us to struggle and to suffer. And we have a lot of poverty in the world today, and not just in Africa. When we hear the word poverty, we automatically think of some third world country. But if we just turn on the news, we would see that we have enough poverty right here in America to keep us busy. We talk about the president and his policies and his procedures and how he wants that administration. I'm not going to just point at him, but the administration has decided to cut food stamps or public assistance, and we get all in an uproar. But we do nothing to help those people begin to prosper in the thing that they're called to. We buy into that same old poor, pitiful me. Now I can't get public assistance. Woe is me. What am I going to do? Well, you are equipped from birth to become a wealthy person. But if nobody ever teaches that, then we're going to continue to have poverty. Because truly, poverty is a mindset. If you don't have the right mindset, you will forever remain in poverty. It doesn't matter how many programs the government has or how many times people give you money and try to help you get on your feet. If you don't shift your mindset, excuse me, and discover who you are, where you've come from, what you're called to do, and what is the equipment you've been given, it is a sense you're never going to fulfill destiny. You may live to be 102, but you will not have fulfilled purpose. You will not have utilized potential, and you will not have arrived at destiny. All right, then. Excuse me. When I think about potential and the things that you are saying, even with the baking, for Cakes to See, you can get Cakes to See. What is your website?
It's Cakes to See, spelled C-A-K-E, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, A, S as in Sam, Y, .store. Envy, S-T-O-R-E-N as in Nancy, V-Y .com.
Okay, and what kind of things can we expect to find at the Cakes to See website where you are? Are you just baking cakes or what's going on there?
Cakes are what I started out making, but I bake cookies, brownies, puddings, pies, fruit bars, just about cheesecake, just about anything that you can think of that's sweet, except for candies. I have not branched into candies just yet, but that's not a I'm not saying we won't ever do it, but right now I'm all about the baked goods. So, I mean, and I try to make sure that they're just different flavors. I make desserts. I like to say that they taste like none you have ever tasted before, but they overwhelm your senses with a homemade grandmotherly familiarity. So they're made with a lot of love and time. I'm something of a perfectionist, so I don't go through them quickly, but when they're made, know that they're made with a lot of love. You can order them online. There's a Facebook page for it, just Cakes to See. And there's a Twitter account, Cakes at you can find me at Cake to See on Twitter. And there's also a Tumblr account for Cakes to See. So I am constantly working on new recipes, and I don't just do, like I said, it's not the average. You won't find a regular German chocolate cake here or a regular vanilla pound cake or something like that, but you will find maybe a carrot cake that is made with pineapples and coconuts and a lot of traditional flavors of Hawaii. Like, then that's our J'adore carrot cake. So we try to do different stuff. There's blondies and brownies. And, you know, if you're looking for something sweet, then we got it. And if we don't have it, you can always request it. Because I like to, my friends and my customers tend to inspire me. They'll ask me, you know, hey, have you ever made a cake like this or a cookie like made out of this? And if I say no, that doesn't mean that I'm not about to try. Just because you gave me that idea, I'm probably going to go try. And then I'll call you up and say, hey, I got something. Come taste it.
Very good. I was going to ask, and I'll give you a few moments to think about this. What is your favorite cake thus far to make? Do you have a favorite cake flavor or creativity that you do?
Oh, my favorite to make. My favorite flavor is chocolate. Anything chocolate makes me happy, and I think my absolute favorite one is a cake called Going Both Ways. It's the very very first cake I ever made from scratch by myself. And it's a marble cake, a chocolate, vanilla, and almond marble cake. And it's covered with a very, very rich and decadent chocolate almond buttercream. And so if you like the flavor of almond, this is the one. It is rich. It's something I could not go through more than one slice, maybe every couple of days, because it's that thick. It's a very dense cake, but it's a rich, fulfilling cake. You probably need to have a nice glass of milk beside you. But it's my absolute favorite cake to make because it was the first one. It was the first one that was I tried, and it was successful. I didn't have any issues with it. I've never had issues with making that particular cake. So Going Both Ways it's my favorite, and it's chocolatey enough. For somebody like me who's a chocolate fanatic. So, yeah.
Absolutely. That sounds like a winner. Okay. I want to say today, before we close the program, that there are as many kinds of gifts as there are people in the earth. Just think about this. Whatever it is that you love to do, ask yourself these three questions. Can I reproduce it? Can it be packaged? And how can I distribute it? Your prosperity is absolutely tied into your potential. So if you're a person out there and you don't have a job, or you want a better job, or you want to increase your income, it's time to start looking at what it is that you do on a regular basis. I'm trying to talk my baby sister into starting a pulled pork barbecue product because she makes the most delicious pulled pork barbecue. And then in this region where we live, lots of her friends and coworkers, whenever she does decide to make it, they want it. And it's like she just doesn't decide to make it. She's just kind of like, well, I don't know if that's what I want to do or not. But she is an absolute awesome cook. And that could turn into a catering business. It could turn into just that one product. I mean, when you go to the grocery store and go to the freezer section, they've got some pulled pork barbecue in there, but it's not necessarily as good as my baby sister's. So I just want you to know today that God wants you to prosper. He wants to bless you so that you prosper emotionally, physically, financially, and in everything that your life is, everything that consists for life and godliness. God has already a plan for you to prosper. So I want to thank our guests this morning, Ms. Shamika Austin of Cakestacy, as well as Dreams Fulfill, which is one of her production companies. She is an awesome woman, full of great giftings and talents. And we thank you today for sharing with us, Ms. Austin. Do you have any last words as we close out today?
Well, thank you for asking me to be a part of this. I really appreciate it. And I think that people just need to remember that it's okay to have dreams, but I would encourage you to just chase your dreams for reality's sake. Change your reality by going after your dreams. That would be my final words.
Thank you very much. And I like to say if you dream it, you have the potential to achieve it. This has been Apostle E.J. Melvin along with Shamika Austin in the Waves of Glory studio saying, you're not here to be average. You are here to be awesome. Have a great week.